please, Luke chapter number 6, and we'll read, let's start in, let's see, verse number 39. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 39. Let's all stand together if we could, just for a brief minute. Susanna, this is your last service with us? Ever? I don't think so. But it's your last service with us before you go back to Cambodia. Got to stay here a little bit longer than you expected. So let's make sure we go by and say goodbye to her. We're going to miss her. It's been nice having you around. And have a safe trip. Okay, we're going to miss her. Make sure you go by and tell her that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. We'll read through to verse 49. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Neither how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that, without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless us tonight as we just look at a thought out of your word. I pray that you'd help us to examine our own hearts and see, Lord, if we need anything that has to be adjusted. If there's any struggles in our lives that we need to deal with, I pray that you'd help us and illuminate that in our minds today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The leader is important. And everybody has a leader. Pastor used to give the old illustration about a man who was, he was in a sales group, and he was a former professional football player, and he was a salesman for this group. And one time they were in a meeting and their sales were not going well, and their boss was in the meeting. He was just kind of getting on them. He was chewing them out, telling them their numbers were low, they need to get it together and get it up there. And he was trying to make a point that if they don't get their act together, they should be fired. And he looked at the former football player and said, listen, if the team's not doing very well, Joe, what would they do? And the football player looked at him and said, they fire the boss. Okay? And that's what happens. We all need the right kind of leadership in our life. We need a spiritual leader. Now, ultimately, our spiritual leader is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text that we read, really one of the most penetrating verses and convicting verses in the whole Bible, if we were to think about it, would be there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He's making a correlation to them between the things that they do in their life and their relationship to him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's just the bottom line fact of life. Okay? You know, there's a saying, and people, you know, they parse everything people say, you know, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord of all. They'll say, well, he's already the Lord. And I understand all that. Let me just boil that down. Jesus Christ is the Lord. But more than that, he wants you to allow him to be the Lord in your life. Does that mean he's not the Lord? No, he is the Lord. But many people don't allow him that authority in their life. You understand? It's like a child with their parents. Their parents are their parents, but some children don't allow their parents to be their parents, particularly as they get older. They think they know everything. Somebody sent me a little picture one time and said, if you don't like what's going on as teenagers, move out of the house right now while you still know everything. Okay, because we think we do. But Jesus Christ is the Lord. The problem is, are you allowing him that spot in your life? Many people today claim the title of Christian, while choosing a life that says otherwise. What? Do I have to live right to be a Christian? Do I have to live right to be saved? No. We don't live right to know Christ. We live right when we know Christ. And we claim the word Christian, but yet in the way we live, the way we act, what's important to us, all those type of things, there's not much difference in most Christians than there is in people who don't know the Lord. We like to talk the talk, but very few will walk the walk. Are we guilty tonight? And if we want to make it a little personal, are you guilty tonight of not allowing Jesus Christ the right place in your life? He's not your buddy. I know there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I get that he's comforting and all that. But Jesus Christ isn't like your best friend. If you have a best friend, he's your equal. He's your peer. Jesus Christ isn't your peer. I've mentioned before, and I mentioned because it irritated me, but it used to be a church in Carson, Judson Baptist Church. I'd go visit down that way. And they had a picture, a big banner up on their church years ago. They may have taken it down. It had a picture of Jesus, and he's dressed like a gangbanger, and he's saying, "What's up?" That's not Jesus. Let's quit trying to bring him down to our level. And the reason we want to bring him down to our level, because if he's on our level, then we really don't have to follow him because he's just like us. He's only like us in the fact that he was 100% flesh like we are, but he was God in the flesh, and that's where the comparison ends. We need to allow him to be Lord of our life. What does that mean? That means we will allow Jesus to be our authority, and we will allow ourselves to be under his authority. We don't like authority. We don't. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to have to follow a path without making the path by ourselves. But we need to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share three brief thoughts tonight about how we can have this happen. Very, very simple. First of all, we need to start by allowing him to be the Lord in our life. We almost need to make the decision that, you know what, it's not my life anymore. It's not just doing what I want to do anymore. Lord, I am going to allow you to take over. I'm going to allow you to dictate what I do in my life. I'm going to allow you to direct my life. There used to be a stupid song years ago. I read about it the other day because someone actually did this. There was a song by a country and western singer, Jesus Take the Wheel. Now look, Jesus doesn't drive your car for you. I don't know if you knew that. The reason I heard about that tells you the guy this week that ran into a tree and he had been drinking. When the police pulled him over, anybody hear this story? They pulled him out, and they said, what's going on? He goes, I don't know. I just heard Jesus speak, and he said, let me take the wheel, and I did. And he ran into a tree. It probably didn't have anything to do with the six-pack that he drank, right? You know, look, Jesus should be everything in your life. When you look at anything you do, it ought to be, what does the Lord want me to do in this area? What keeps us from doing that? So often we're blind, and that hinders us. In verse 39 and 40 there, he was just giving a little parable. Can the blind lead the blind except they both fall into a ditch? And he says, but the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You know, if someone's leading you and they don't know what the way, of course they're going to lead you into a way that's not right. We have a master that knows everything. He knows the way and he knows the path we're supposed to take. Listen, we don't know everything. The only wisdom we have, we've been talking about Proverbs for many weeks. The only wisdom you have in your life, if you're a wise individual, you got from that book. And it's not your wisdom. It's because when we get into his book and we understand what he's saying, we're going to know the path because he knows the path. But so often we hinder ourselves. God's provided a light for us, and that light is in his word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The lamp to your feet shows you the next step. The light shows you the path you're supposed to be on. What is that? It's our guidance. You say, well, if Jesus is the Lord and he's going to lead me, I want to hear him speak to me. He's not going to speak to you. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're hearing voices, that's not Jesus. Jesus has already spoken, and it's right here in his book. Why in the world would we, you know, that's kind of hypocritical. I want Jesus just to give me this visioning, give me this dream, and show me something. He doesn't need to. You want a dream? Right here, dream this. You want to hear him speak to you? Open the Bible and read it. He's given us, it's funny how we'll want some kind of weird experience. You know, I saw a leaf fall from the tree and I heard God say this. You heard nothing. That's your imagination. What's God trying to teach me? It's fall. Okay? I got in this accident. What is God trying to teach me from this? Pay attention when you're driving. Now, I know through difficulties, sometimes people hitting a car, you can learn. But listen, we want all this weird stuff when we just don't even go to the factual stuff. God, speak to me. I already have. Pay attention. Let's get into his word. His word, it has everything that we need. Psalm chapter 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I don't know if you know this, but we are all simple without his word. So let's not allow blindness. If you're spiritually blind, if you are devoid of wisdom, it is because you are allowing yourself to be spiritually blind. You are allowing yourself to be void of wisdom because he's given us everything we need. The problem is, it goes back to the lordship issue. The reason we don't really want to know what this book says is because we don't want to do what it says. Conflict. You ever, you know, there's conflict. Oh, you want conflict? Read the Bible. It'll conflict with everything that you want to do. Our flesh just likes to do that which is wrong. And the Bible will lead to conflict. It will lead us to have to think and decide, am I going to continue to go my own way, or I'm going to trust what he said and I'm going to go his way? It's never going to happen if we do not allow him to do that. Instead of being blind and following our own way, why don't we just look to Jesus? Why don't we just do what he would do? And I'm not talking about some slick Christian marketing plan. You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't spend $10 on a plastic band that costs 50 cents. They used to have the Christian bookstore over here, the money changers. And if they throw something, they put Jesus on it, it's going to cost more. They used to have breath mints. You can get breath mints for a couple bucks. These were like six or seven. And they were, you know why? Because they were Christian breath mints. They were called testaments. Some slick marketing scheme. Jesus doesn't need a slick marketing scheme. What would Jesus do? Well, the Bible would tell us. The question isn't what would Jesus do. The question is, would you do what Jesus did? Let's follow him. We must look to Jesus. What was Jesus like? You want to follow Jesus? Because this is going to lead into our next point. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Because the next point is going to keep us from allowing him that place of Lord in our life. We tend to see Jesus the way we want him to be, or how, or we tend to see him through our own personality sometimes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Robbery means something to be grasped onto, something to be held onto. That wasn't why he came. He was God in the flesh. He didn't deny that, but he didn't come down here for that purpose. What was his purpose? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, now listen, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Lord of the universe, confined himself on this earth to the purpose for which he came, to die on the cross, to be a servant in that sense. And he funneled everything into that purpose, and he would not be pushed off of it. That took humility, which leads us to point two. First, let's make him the Lord of our lives. Second, strive to eliminate pride in your life, because that's what keeps us from following him. Pride. Heard a story. There was a young preacher one time, and he had just taken over a church, and you know, he was just out of college, and he knew everything. It's funny how the younger you are, the more you know, and the older we get, the more we realize, the less we know. But he came in, and he kind of had a proud spirit. That first Sunday, he walked up the pulpit, and he was self-assured. He knew exactly what he was going to do, and he had it together. He gets up, and he starts to preach, and he can't think of a thing. His notes are blurry. His mind is fogged. His heart's beating. He's losing it, and he mumbles for a few minutes. In embarrassment, he walks down and sits on the front row. Service over. So he sits down. An old gentleman came there, member of the church for a long time, put his arm around him, and he said this: if you would have walked up like you walked down, you wouldn't walk down like you walked up. What's he saying? Get rid of the pride. Pride's a killer. And by the way, we have nothing to be proud about, and yet all of us struggle with it, especially in comparison to God. Now, we could compare ourselves to others. And I guess if you want to, you can find somebody and say, compared to that person, I'm pretty good. But if you want to make the comparison game, you have to compare yourself to God. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. Well, we don't match up there. His goal for us is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, none of us got that down yet. But see, when we're proud, what happens is now we want to be in charge of our life. We know what's best. How do we know when we're proud? You know the scriptures we read told us? We become critical. Verse 41. It said, why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, and but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst I say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. By the way, we're good at seeing what's wrong with the other person. If you want to know what's wrong with you, come see me. I can figure that one out. You, I don't have time. But how often do I have trouble seeing what's wrong with my life? We had a college student one time, and I knew him pretty well, and there was some issues going on in his life. He was trying to grow. So I guess someone had told him, you know, boy, if you want help, go ask other people what they think of you. And he came up to me. And he said, I got to ask you a question, Brother Myers. Do you think I'm proud? And I thought, he asked me? And I looked at him, I said, absolutely. He goes, really? Now, to be honest with you, we can answer that question for everybody in that way. We got to fight pride. Pride will keep us doing our own thing. Pride will keep us from following our own way. And when we do that, all we do is get ourselves in trouble. Pride. What caused Satan, who was an angel in heaven, to be thrown out? Pride. We get critical. You want to know if you're proud? How critical are you? If I was up there singing, I would have done this. Well, let me just say this. You weren't up here singing. And if you want to get up here singing, get in the choir. Well, if I had that Sunday school class, well, you don't. We're so good at nitpicking. And by the way, you want to be careful, because once you start to nitpick, you stop seeing all the good and you focus. Now, I'm not saying sometimes there's some things that need to be improved, but if all you ever do is see the bad, you're never going to see the good. And once you just are so good at picking at other people, you don't see the issues in your own life. Pride. And then pride will, look, if we're proud, we are not going to grow. It's just no way. Jesus wanted us to be like him. And Jesus wants us to be humble. Verse 43, the verses we read. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Look, the picture of growth in the Bible is always fruit. Let me ask you a question. If you want to look at your life, the direction of your life, if pride's in your life, if you're really making Jesus Lord, let me ask you something. What's going on in your life? Is there any good fruit there? You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm going. It just seems like all these things are... No. There will be outward evidences that you are following God. There will be fruit. There is no way you can grow in your faith. Now, you will not be perfect. I'm not saying that. But there is no way, if Jesus is the Lord and you're allowing him that place in your life and you are following him with everything you got, there is going to be fruit evidenced in your life that is the case. If you got saved later on in life, and maybe you're in a family where there's people that maybe don't know the Lord, it's very easy for you to tell if you're growing in your faith. They'll recognize it. They'll say, there's something different about you. They may not understand what it is. And in some cases, they may freak out with what's going on. But they're going to know something's different. Does anybody know that you're different? Hey, let me ask you. If you were to go to the people of your work and say, listen, I'm a Christian. Do you think I'm in any way living up to the name Christian? Wonder what they would say. If you were afraid to ask them, maybe the fruit's not there. There's going to be evidences. Pride will keep us from growing. Pride will make us critical. And we're critical because we think we know what's best and nobody else does. And when we're like that, we're never going to be what Jesus Christ wants us to be. Consider the way you act tonight. The things we say, how we try to portray ourselves, everything that we do. What do those things say about your heart? Because he tells us everything that comes outwardly starts in our lives inwardly. If you're showing good fruit and things are happening in your life, that's a sign that good things are happening inwardly. Now, I will say this, you can fool people for a space. You can try to live that life, and you have that fake life, and you're trying to pull one over on people, but eventually it's going to come out. So don't think I'm saying it's just some outward conformity. But if you're really right on the inside, they will know. Others will know by the fruit in your life. Why was it that the Christians were called Christians? They did not give themselves that name. Those that saw them gave them that name. Christians, those that are like Christ, little Christ. They're following him. Thank God that they knew that they were following them. I like that verse in Acts. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't you like it if you're at work, you're just out somewhere, it's like, you know, there's something about you. You must know the Lord. And again, it's not some proud thing, but it's a sign of growth. It's a sign that we're rebuking the pride in our life. And lastly, if we're going to let Jesus give him that place of being Lord in our life, then we need to strengthen ourselves and grow in the truth. The last verses we read, we've preached on it here before. After verse 46, where he says, "Call me, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I do?" And he gives the parable of the foundation. If you build on the right foundation, you dig deep, you'll make it. But if your foundation is not on the rock, the storms come, it's going to fall. And who is the one that builds their house on the rock? Who is the one that stands strong in the face of the storm? Those that hear his sayings and do them. You see, if you're one of those Christians, maybe we mentioned, where maybe outwardly we're being fake. You know, we're trying to portray something on the outside that's not legitimate on the inside. We're not growing in our faith. We're not spending time with him. Eventually a storm is going to come. There's going to come a trial. Something's going to happen in the life. And there's something that's going to test the strength of that relationship with God. And if that relationship is not strong, if it's not built on him being the Lord and doing what he says, when those trials come, when those problems come, you're not going to make it. Because you're building your life on yourself. You're building your life on what you think is right. You're not building your life on revelation, what God says is right. And the problems come and we fall. We need to strengthen our faith. Our country needs us to live the truth more than ever. The spiritual indicators in our country show that the majority, even of Christians, aren't doing very well. How many people go to church? Even people that name, "Oh, I have a relationship with God. I don't need to be in church. It's just you. It's just Jesus and I, or Jesus and me." No, it isn't. Because Jesus said you need church. How many people actually read their Bibles? "I have a Bible. I carry it to church every week." Amen. Thank you. "I have one on my phone. I have one on my tablet. I have one on my laptop." Great. You ever read it? You ever look at it? You ever let it get into you? I can't read anywhere where God says he'll bless us for owning a copy of the Bible. I've read it several times. I don't see that. I don't see anywhere where, you know, Satan's afraid of us because we carry it. You know, we think we're like Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan comes and attacks him. And Jesus just simply quotes the scriptures. Listen, we think the Bible's like the devil's a vampire and the Bible's a cross. You know, look, if Satan were to come into your room tonight and it's like, "Check this out, Satan, I got a Bible." He'll like, "Oh, that's nice, it's leather. Wow, look at black, my favorite color. The words of Christ are in red, that's my second favorite color." He could care less if you own it. You know what? You know what kills him? When you crack that thing open, you start reading it. That's where it comes from. That's what petrifies him. How many Christians actually read their Bibles? You know? All these spiritual indicators. How many people actually tithe? So why do you throw that in there? "I'm a pastor, I have to." Okay. How many people spend time with God? How many people actually invite someone to church? Share their faith with them. You see, that's where the fruit comes from. That's where the reality starts to play out in our lives. Are we real with that? We need to be strengthened by the truth. The point is this. Look at your life tonight. Is Jesus really? Are you allowing him that proper place? Or are we doing our own thing? Are we okay with just taking his name, but that's it? You don't mind if someone calls you a Christian, but your life, you don't want that interfering with your life. By the way, people come in, try to come into Christianity with that. You ever witness to somebody? You'll talk to them. I've had several say this. Well, you know what? I can't live that life. There's just no way. Now, first of all, you need to talk to them a little bit, because you can't even live that life unless you have the Spirit of God inside of you. But some people want to come in. I'll come to Jesus, but I'll come on my terms. You remember the man that came to Jesus and said, I've done these things. What do I got to do to have eternal life? Jesus said, all right, you want me to really get to it? He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Are we supposed to do works for salvation? No. That was his God. He actually was not going to trust 100% in God. He wanted to trust in his... Jesus knew what his false God was in his life and said, you need to chuck your false God and trust me. But you know what's funny? We'll come into Christianity and then we'll start picking up some false gods. Now we'll start picking up some things that are, that Lord, you can have everything in my life. You can't have this. Parents, you can't have my children. I want my children to go to this, you know, I want my children to have this job. Hey, listen, what does God want them to have? Or some people say that about themselves. I'll go to church. I'll even get involved in ministry. And I'll even tithe. But I won't do this. I won't do that. So in those areas, he's not, you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to bargain with God. God, you can be the Lord in these areas, but these areas, stay away from them. Those are mine. Is that how it works? We just need to come. Do we trust him enough tonight? I mean, we've trusted him for salvation. I would assume most of you in here, if not all of us, have trusted him for salvation. But can we take that next step and say, I've given my eternal soul to you. I'm giving my temporal life to you. What do you want me to do? He can work with that. Is he the Lord in your life tonight? Does everything you do in one way or another say, I just want to do what God wants me to do? Not that we don't mess up sometimes, but yet that's the direction we want to take. Jesus is the Lord tonight. You cannot deny it. You can fight him on it, but he's the Lord. But is he your Lord? Not in your words. Well, I sang the songs tonight. How firm a foundation you say to the Lord. That's a good song, by the way. You need to sing that more often. Well, you know where he said that foundation was laid? Remember the song? In his word. But that scares us because it tells us what we need to do. Let's make him the Lord tonight. Let's let him have that place in our life, in our actions, our desires, and in everything we do. And here's the thing, and I'm done. And I mean that. I'm not one of those that say I'm done, and then 20 minutes from now, I'm done again. Okay? If we do that, we get the best. See, Satan's really good at telling us, well, you know, if you give your life to God, all the things you want to do and all the things you think will make you happy and all the security you think you want, you won't get it. That's a lie. All of those things you really want are found in following God unreservedly. Unreservedly. I've yet to meet somebody that's lived their life following God and they get to their life and say, I regret it. They always come and say, best decision I ever made. What about you tonight? Let's stand together.